Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education says it has been asking for millions to help improve academically struggling K-12 school districts. And that funding has come up short over the years. During a Missouri Board of Education meeting, State Education Commissioner Dr. Margie Van Deven said the department has been requesting about $6 million for roughly the past decade. Doug Hyder, the executive director of the Missouri Association of School Administrators, joins Show Me Today. Doug, thank you so much for joining us. I just want to get your initial thoughts about this information.
Well, the pandemic, Elisa, taught us one thing, and that is that there's always areas where we need to improve. And learning time was lost. And so any funds like the Continuous Improvement Funds or the School Turnaround Act funds that we can utilize to help kids catch up, I mean, that's what educators do every day. We figure out where a child is, we assess, and then we figure out ways to get them where they need to be. So certainly the department having access to these, especially in a post-COVID world where we need to catch up a lot of kids, we think is pretty important.
Doug, any idea on why these efforts have not been fully funded?
Well, you know, I think from a global perspective, a lot of people have seen the federal money that has come down, especially during the time of COVID. And it's very easy to say, well, school districts are getting additional funding, and they are from the federal level. But it is one-time funding. There is flexibility with a lot of it. But there are still some parameters by which they have to use those funds. So anything that we can get additionally to designate toward instruction, which again is the key why we have our public education system, can only be a benefit to kids as we move forward.
So according to DESE, there are no statutory requirements to fund school improvement efforts in provisionally accredited and unaccredited districts. However, because provisionally accredited and unaccredited districts often contain low-performing schools, the department says it leverages resources to the maximum extent possible. What do you think about not having statutory requirements to fund school improvement efforts for the provisionally accredited and the unaccredited districts?
There's always a balancing act when we put things in statute, and at an even higher level when we put things, let's say, in the Missouri Constitution. So I can understand at times where legislatures are hesitant to do that, because once it's there, it can be very difficult to remove and sometimes deal with, depending upon what the circumstances are. It also, I think, gives some discretion to the department and local districts to make sure those that need the funds get them. So I can see the stance of potentially it should be statutory, but I also think the discretion, you know, again, we'll use the classroom teacher analogy. Every day a classroom teacher, you know, assesses the students in his or her classroom, and if a student is behind in this particular area, they can then make those decisions and corrections. So I think that's applicable to the department in regard to these funds as well.
Doug Hyder, the executive director of the Missouri Association of School Administrators, joins Show Me Today. According to DESE, districts identified as provisionally accredited would be the ones, you know, that would be eligible for these improvement dollars. Those districts, according to DESE, are Hayti R2, Hickman Mills, Normandy Schools Collaborative, and Riverview Gardens. So I'm not entirely sure who's being served and who is not with these dollars. You don't happen to know, do you, Doug?
No, I don't know exactly which specific districts, you know, other than gauged on, I believe it's English Language Arts and Mathematics, MPI, in regard to being in and then exiting the program. But I don't have a definitive list of those at this time.
Okay. All right. And I think it's important because parents in these districts probably should know, like, if their kids are being helped or not with interventions or with school improvement efforts from the state. So it might be a question that parents should think about asking their district, whether or not they're getting the funding through the state to help their kids. You know, we have a lot of federal money that's come in. Missouri has billions of dollars sitting in the bank, and lawmakers are working on the state budget still. If there was ever going to be a time to fully fund school improvement efforts, I feel like this would be the year. Right. And if you don't do it this year, when is it actually going to happen? I don't know. That's just my analysis. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that.
No, I think that's a great viewpoint. You know, how can we best leverage the positive financial position that we're in? Again, keeping in mind what we talked about earlier, the one-time funds, making sure that we don't utilize those for recurring or ongoing expenditures that we can't deal with, but leveraging these to help kids as much as possible. So you're right. The time is ripe for us to take a strong look, I believe, in putting these funds in where we can help as many of these school districts and students as possible.
And, you know, one other thing I did bring up in the article I wrote about on this is that during the discussions at the legislative level, there are some lawmakers who support school choice and putting money more so towards school choice as opposed to expand those options instead of maybe going the route of putting more state funding into public education. So, yeah, I think I've heard, well, I know I've heard the talk that why put more money into traditional public schools when they're quote unquote failing? And not all of them are, of course. And we don't have any unaccredited school districts at this time. So there is that discussion, but there is not the discussion of, okay, but you're not fully funding school improvement efforts for the struggling school districts out there. So I think that's probably important to keep in mind, as we probably will hear more discussions about education funding during these last few weeks of session. Anything else you want to add to that, Doug?
Well, we're all aware that, you know, according to the United States Constitution, that education, you know, 10th Amendment, it is a state right and a state responsibility to take care of the public education system. So, you know, doing that, I think, and I think for the most part, our legislature has done that over the years. There's going to be difference of opinion in the current foundation formula on the state adequacy target, and the fact that a few years ago, you know, it was going to grow and then it was not allowed to grow, and we could debate that back and forth. But I think overall they have tried to make public education, you know, a fairly good priority. The problem, in my opinion, with saying, well, public schools are failing, surely, absolutely, there are some that need to improve. There's no question. But there are also a number of charter schools and others. If you look at the data, there are some good ones. And there are a number of them who utilized a tremendous amount of funding and did not make it. And I think if you look at public schools overall in comparison many times to charters and others and other private schools, they fared fairly well. So sometimes I think it's easy to say, well, they're failing. And again, there are those that can be better. Do we leave them, or are we doing all we can as a state to make sure, because that's our fundamental priority, is to fund the public schools and make sure that every student, which 90% of the children in the state are going to a public school, are receiving the education they deserve. So, you know, that can be played both ways from our perspective.
Doug Hyder with us. He is the executive director of the Missouri Association of School Administrators, joining Show Me today. And good point. I mean, there are some great charter schools out there, and there are some great traditional public schools out there as well. And there are some that need to improve. I mean, it is the case for no matter what school you go to. So, Doug, anything else that you think the public should know about for this legislative session when it comes to education? Anything like that you want to give them a heads up on?
Well, obviously, we've talked about the state budget, which is going to be key, and the amount of funds available, and just making sure we know there's a lot of programs across the state outside of education that certainly warrant support as well. But just making sure from a public education perspective that we do fund those areas where we can help children the most. There are several bills out there, you know, the current open enrollment bill, which a number of our members have concerns about in regard to its impact, especially on our smaller rural communities. There's some charter funding legislation pieces, which we would support in regard to solely involving Kansas City, who's approved at this time. There's a number of bills in regard to, you know, school board agendas, school board elections. And I think our take there, Lisa, is just balance. It is a community school, and there should be interaction at the board meeting level. But it has to be practical, and it has to be reasonable. And I think sometimes we can get out on the fringes, and we just have to be careful about that as well. There's some virtual bills that we're watching closely as well. So those are probably some of the key pieces that we're keeping an eye on at this point in time.
Doug, what would the open enrollment bill do? How would it affect especially those rural districts?
Well, I think there's a fear among some that if you open up the borders of school districts, that you're going to have students leaving districts. Some feel like students would come to them. But in our small, more, you know, sparsely populated, isolated rural communities, often the school is the community. And, you know, we've seen in other states where that can be an issue. If the school goes away, then often the community goes away. And there's also a basic equity and fairness. If you're living outside a district and your voters are not willing to, let's say, pay a higher tax rate to support your school, but yet you can send your children over here, pay a lower tax rate, and the residents of that district are subsidizing other children. I mean, that's great. We want to help every child. But is there an inherent fairness to that? So that, athletic and extracurricular competitions, transportation, there's just a number of issues. And the way we fund schools in Missouri in regard to the formula, what I talked about in the tax rate and all of that. So a lot of cogs to that wheel that it would have to be looked at very carefully for it to work successfully.
And that open enrollment bill is sponsored by Representative Brad Pollitt, a Republican from Sedalia. His whole career was in public education. All right. Well, any final thoughts before we wrap up this interview, Doug?
No, we just appreciate the opportunity to share, and we'll see what these final weeks of the session hold. It's always hard to tell what's going to happen, but we're looking for positive results for public education.
Doug Hyder, the Executive Director of the Missouri Association of School Administrators. We will be back with more after this. This is Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.